This is Glenn Frey's favorite Eagles song. It's One of These Nights, and it's one of my favorite bands. Glenn Frey dead. 67 years old. It was days after David Bowie, two rock icons from the 70s. Let this roll for a second, Ross. I'm going to drive Ross crazy. This is the band of my youth, the Eagles. I'll say this many times this morning, but if you want to see one of the great rock documentaries of all time, Allison Eastwood, is that Clint Eastwood's daughter?
I believe it is, yeah. Stepdaughter? Or no, I think it is his daughter.
Did the documentary on the Eagles, let's leave this up a bit, and did the documentary on the Eagles a couple of years ago on Showtime, and I watch it every time it's on. I watch it for 10 minutes. I'll watch it for a couple of hours. I got it on the iPad. I got it on the DVR. It's like wherever I, you know, need a little quick Eagles hit, it's there.
Do you have Palladia?
I do not.
That's a great channel. It's all rock concerts, basically, and rockumentaries.
So I'm sure that's all Glenn Frey.
Oh, yeah. They started playing it last night.
So Glenn Frey had acute ulcerative colitis. Glenn Frey had rheumatoid arthritis. Glenn Frey had pneumonia. Now, here's a guy who did a lot of damage to his body in the 70s, as all rock stars did, but looked exceedingly healthy through the 80s, was remarried, I think, around 1990, somewhere in there, has three kids. The youngest kid, he's got a little boy. I think his name is Otis. It's like 13.
That's so sad.
You can't have your dad die when you're 13.
You know,
it's just brutal. So anyway, we're going to have Dr. Most on later this hour to explain, you know, how this combination of illnesses could take somebody at that age, because he had just had intestinal surgery in the fall, I think as late as December, and he was recovering from that, and complications arose. So that's a sad story. If you're like me and you're old and you grew up in the 70s, this was the Eagles, man. This was the band. There was the Eagles and Billy Joel.
Love the Eagles. And you know what you have to say, because we were talking about this before, Glenn Frey kind of reinvented himself in the 80s, too, to that generation.
Well, see, but that's funny, because the 80s were your decade.
I know.
The 80s music he put out, in my opinion,
no, I know you
mostly
don't like
crap, but you loved it.
I love The Heat Is On.
The Heat Is On. And he, you know what? He's a pretty good actor.
Yeah, he was.
Pretty good actor. He was always the tough guy. He played Jerry Maguire's nemesis for a couple of scenes in the Tom Cruise movie. And he, you know, he's a Miami Vice semi-regular. But it's funny, if you watch that Eagles documentary, he comes across as just a brick, just a bad guy. And I didn't know him at all. I just interviewed him a few times.
And your experiences with
him
were
fine.
Fine. Yeah.
It was great.
You know, I think this hits me more than it does David Bowie, because I can tell you all.
I thought you were a huge Bowie guy.
I was, but you know, I'm a huge Eagles guy. Desperado, Lying Eyes. I mean, those are the songs that, you know, those are the makeout songs in the back of the car. I mean, you know, I mean, it's just,
well, there's a great line again from that documentary where he said people did stuff to the Eagles songs.
Exactly.
People took trips,
got
literally
high.
And figuratively.
Yeah.
Already Gone. That was my favorite.
California.
I'm going to play all of them.
Check the back seat for lint.
All Eagles bumps all morning. Remember, our normal slogan is much less music, much more talk. I may have a disc jockey flashback by the time this morning's over.
Got to play a little Hotel California, too. I always like that song.
That.
I always like that song.
You have no idea what it means, do you?
No, I know exactly what it means.
No, you don't, because they don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what
drugs.
It means. No, it's not.
You're living it up at the Hotel California.
No, I'm telling you. I remember talking to Glenn Frey about this. He wrote it. He goes, everybody wants to find meaning in every song. I go, yeah, because we don't do what you do.
Right.
He goes, sometimes you have a chunk of lyrics that work, and then you have to find something that works with the first part.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to find something that works with the first two parts, and you get to the end, and you have no idea what it means. I remember Phil Collins told me the same thing. He goes, a song doesn't have to have meaning. It can mean different things to different people. And I heard Don Henley and Glenn Frey say the co-founders of the Eagles, same band, two completely different things about the song. Henley said it's about, and it sounded like a complete crock, but this is how Henley talks. Henley said it's about the journey from innocence to experience. which is what you're talking about in some ways.
Exactly, yeah.
Glenn Frey, who wrote it, said, nah, doesn't mean anything.
Come on. It's got to mean something when you're putting pen to paper.
He wrote it.
He was BSing.
No, I don't think so.
There's got to be a deeper meaning to it.
No, well, listen, if you want there to be, there can be. But the guy that wrote it said there wasn't.
It's not like it wasn't overplayed in the late 70s, early 80s.
Here's the thing. When you die, you want the people you knew best to say nice things about you, don't you?
Absolutely.
Listen to what Don Henley, one of the great lyric writers of all time. Don Henley wrote this yesterday. And this is Don Henley became the vocalist for the Eagles. And Glenn Frey took a back seat, but he still ran the band. Don Henley, he was like a brother to me. We were a family, and like most families, there was some dysfunction. But the bond we forged 45 years ago was never broken, even during the 14 years that the Eagles were dissolved. We were two young men who made the pilgrimage to Los Angeles with the same dream to make a mark in the music industry. And with perseverance, a deep love of music, our alliance with other great musicians, and our manager, Irving Azoff, we built something that has lasted longer than anyone could have dreamed. But Glenn was the one who started it all. He was a spark plug, the man with the plan. He had an encyclopedic knowledge of popular music and a work ethic that just wouldn't quit. He was funny, bullheaded, mercurial, generous, deeply talented, and driven. He loved his wife and his kids more than anything. We're all in a state of shock, disbelief, and profound sorrow. We brought our two-year History of the Eagles tour to a triumphant close at the end of July, and now he's gone. I'm not sure I believe in fate, but I know that crossing paths with Glenn Lewis Frey in 1970 changed my life forever, and it eventually had an impact on the lives of millions of others all over the planet, and it's going to be very strange going forward in a world without him. But I will be grateful, forever grateful, that he was in my life. Rest in peace, my brother. You did what you set out to do, and then some. That is cool.
That's one of the
great.
That
tribute.
Is cool.
It's a great tribute.
Can't think of anything better to
That's
say.
That's just wow. Something else, man. It's a cover version of Wasted Time. The Eagles, Glenn Frey, 67 years old, died yesterday. All right, 622. Andre and I were just talking off the air. Let me get Nick in here for this. The controversy over no African-American nominations at the Academy Awards as it's taken its toll. Would that be the wording I'm looking for? Yesterday, Jada Pinkett Smith said she's not going. That's significant because Will Smith, had a big movie.
With concussion. And Spike Lee is now boycotting as well.
Not as significant.
Not so much, but I thought, and we can confirm this with Nick, that they were going to give him an honorary Oscar.
At Nick D Show. What do you know about that, Nick?
I don't know about the honorary. You know what? I think they are giving him an honorary Oscar. I find this thing to be, the reason why the boycotts are happening is because this is like the second year in a row. Last year, there were no people of color nominated as well. And the same holds true this year. Although, I'm looking at the films and do you nominate someone of color because you haven't this year? I mean, because, Straight Outta Compton, a significantly flawed movie. And that's the one that everyone keeps going to. Like, how come this wasn't nominated? How come that wasn't nominated? Well, it's not very good. That's why.
Well, and didn't you tell me the writers were nominated?
The writers are white.
And yeah, but that's a great irony here, right?
Yeah.
So the
yeah.
African-American, the movie about African-American themes, culture, and hip-hop has nominations, but it's a couple of white guys.
Four white guys. Yeah, and that just adds to it. I think the big story here, not so much that Jada Pinkett Smith is not going to go. I mean, Will Smith didn't get nominated, so he's, probably not going to get invited anyway, he was scheduled to present something. Spike Lee not going, if he gets the honorary Oscar, if that indeed is true, then that's a big deal. But the biggest deal is that Chris Rock is receiving pressure from all kinds of people to boycott and not host.
Yeah, he announced this morning. He announced overnight and early this morning, I guess. He's going. Now, let me tell you something. He should go. And here's why. From a comedian standpoint, you just had 10 minutes of your monologue rewritten for you. There's at least 5 minutes of I'm the only black guy here tonight. Who needs their car pulled around and everything else about, an allegedly racist in a funny way. Hollywood.
You know what's funny, you guys, though, about this whole situation, I guess, I shouldn't say funny, but ironic, is that it's not great for the Academy that no African-American nominees, there are none. But this is going to overshadow all of the nominees. You know, Leo DiCaprio is probably going to get the Oscar this year. This, I think, is going to take center stage as opposed to who actually won and who deserved it.
Well, you'll have a couple of people, I think, when they do their speeches who will mention it. But as soon as the statues start getting handed out, then it'll jump back into, and I'd like to thank my cousin Lenny, who drove me here tonight, and my orthodontist, and my cat.
Listen, we got a month and a half before the Academy Awards. This thing is going to be big for a while. Like everything else, it'll probably die down. And the other thing about it is that, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right, Steve. If Chris Rock had decided to boycott, that would have been the dumbest thing in the world. That night, he's going to have the biggest crowd, the biggest audience he's ever played for. And if you want to make a statement about how screwed up the Academy is, if you want to make a statement about possible racism, if you want to make a statement about how unfair it is, that's the time to do it, because everybody on the planet will be watching. If you don't show up, you don't have a voice. If you do, it's live TV. Say whatever the hell you want to say, and it will make for make for riveting television, I think.
Yeah, and we think we know the problem here. The problem is not as simple as make better movies. The problem is that demographically, the voters, and correct me if I'm wrong, Nick, average out at 60 plus for the full voting block of Oscar voters, and older folks. This is call this the generalization of the morning, if you like. But older folks are more likely to be less likely to nominate African-Americans. That's a stretch.
You're absolutely right. Most of the people who are in the Academy are older white people. There's no question about it. That's just a fact. The majority of them are older white people many of them don't even go to the movies. They wait for the screeners and watch half of them and then vote. That's pretty much how it goes. So if something fantastic did come out that was African-American driven, like I think the only legit, really, really legit complaints that people have, Ryan Coogler directed the hell out of Creed. It was one of the best directed films of the year. No question about it. Michael B. Jordan he had a shot at getting nominated for Best Actor. There's no question about it. There were certain performances Ice Cube's son. In Straight Outta Compton, terrific performance. But the problem is that there were, like, I could name 15 directors who did a better job than Coogler and 20 actors who did a better job, than Michael B. Jordan. And that was what ultimately it comes down to. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, for years the Academy has been out of touch. That's something that's been consistent since the 50s,
Yeah, and if there was ever a time, and to bring it full circle, if Chris Rock makes a mountain out of this molehill that turned into a mountain and makes a bigger mountain out of it, if Chris Rock can pull that off in the monologue, that'll be the major news of the following day. And in all likelihood, you're going to see a change, a forced change in the voting that should be more equitable age-wise and could fix a lot of this.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. I do think that people will be watching for that. But I think the emotional, the big moment of that night is if Sylvester Stallone wins Best Supporting Actor. That's going to be the moment of the night. That's going to be the moment that is going to be the emotional high point, everybody's favorite moment. The place is going to go nuts, and he's going to give a killer speech if he wins. And I think he is. I think he deserves it, too.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. Yeah, and man. Don't you have a movie to plug?
A couple of weeks, February 2nd, in fact, on Groundhog Day, we're going to screen Groundhog Day, Bill Murray movie. And
it's better known as Amy Cochran's birthday.
Oh, that's Amy Cochran's birthday.
Yeah,
okay.
The main reason that people mention it.
That's right. I believe Harold Ramis was going to title the movie Amy Cochran's birthday.
Right.
And he changed it. But I do want to mention very quickly that tickets are on sale right now. We've got that one on February 2nd, and there's going to be a special appearance via Skype by Stephen Tobolowsky. Ned Ryerson,
oh, that's
Ned
very cool.
The insurance. And also on February 20th, we're doing a second one. It'll be a Saturday, and I told the rest of the staff you weren't there. I expect these Steve Cochran staff to come out en masse because it's on a Saturday night, and we're showing Al Pacino in Scarface on February 20th.
Yeah.
Oh, that is a funny movie.
It's hilarious. Well, we're also, but I do want to mention very quickly, so that's Saturday, February 20th, everybody can come, and Bogart's, the restaurant bar, they're going to be serving mojitos and Cuban sandwiches.
Very nice. Look at you.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if they're serving cocaine, but.
Look at you. No, I think that's extra.
Oh,
by quite a bit. All right, buddy. Thanks for the help.
Thank you, buddy.
See you later. At Nick D Show on Twitter. And Ross, Twitter is back up again. Is that accurate? All right. Twitter is up again. Back with the big story next on 720 WGN. This is one of the number one causes of a disc jockey flashback. Celebrating the life of Glenn Frey. This is the Eagles. Somebody's gonna hurt somebody. So great. That's the best.
You hit the post, too, by the way.
I can't help myself.
I know.
It's a skill that never leaves. The most useless skill ever crafted by man.
Oh, it's a great skill.
The ability to talk up a record. And if you're really good, you can do it in the middle of the song, too. Glenn Frey and the Eagles music all morning long. At 6:41... We're going to remind you that we are in a new year and new Kids of the Week entries are welcome all the time. Great kids doing great things. And I think it's important occasionally just to step down and say, A, thank you for all the great submissions of 2015. But now in 2016, we're looking to hear more stories about kids we haven't met yet. And these are kids doing simple things, kids doing bigger things, and kids doing great things. When this concept was started, I think I started doing this back in Minneapolis in the early 90s. And when this concept was started, all I wanted to hear from were just kids doing something special for them. For instance, a kid that maybe is a C student, and you know they could be a B student, or maybe an A student. So a kid that just worked hard and got their grades up. Well, it surprised me initially. It certainly doesn't surprise me anymore, but I love the stories, that it always turns into kids doing exceptional things. And Mary and Andrea know this to be a fact, and Dave as well. Kevin, not so much, because Kevin, of course, was a former Kid of the Week. That's how he got on the show. But every time we hear these stories about Kids of the Week, it makes us feel really bad.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. And we feel very insignificant.
It really does.
And do you notice
a lot of bad parents.
A lot of the times, the Kids of the Week, it starts with an idea.
Yeah.
You know, they thought, hey, I want to do... you know, raise money for a charity or whatever, or
right.
improve my
right,
grades.
Right, right.
And then it turns into something huge.
And the fundraising thing, Kev, you tell me, because you see all these entries. But I would say kids doing charitable things is probably 75% of the entries.
75%. And it is really cool.
But it doesn't have to be that.
Right.
But it almost, can be anything.
But almost always the parent says, you know, the kid came up with this idea. Whether it started with a school project or something their friends started doing, or maybe they had a friend sick, or just an organization they found about. So, yeah, it's impressive. They put me to shame.
Yeah, well, you know, that's why you are disappointing Kevin at one point.
That's right.
But the entry process is very simple, and it could be something, again, simple about your kid that's special just in your family that we want to know. And by the way, you don't even have to know the kid. Maybe it's not your kid. Maybe it's not your relative. Maybe it's not a kid you know. Maybe it's a story you saw online. And you go, I don't know if these guys know about it. I want them to know.
That's a fun phone call. When I call the parents of the kid being nominated, and they have no idea that their kid was nominated, I tell them and explain. And
oh, that's great.
Form. It's really cool. The parents always are thrilled
about
They're
it. Beaming.
Yes.
And we've talked about other spinoffs of this contest, like Loser Kid of the Week, like the other kid in the family who doesn't do anything. Well, all the other, you know, most of the kids are stars.
No, they're all special.
It's like the Letterman Scholarship at Ball State. If you're a C student, you can still get the scholarship because that's what he was.
You know, they go, every family has one, and you don't know which one is really the trouble until you grow up and it's Thanksgiving. But we're focusing on the positive, even though the other would be funny. We're focusing on the positive for Kid of the Week. So how do you enter?
You go to WGNradio.com. There's a contest page on the top right. There's a little link. Click on that. Scroll down a little bit until you see the big Kid of the Week logo. Click on that. There's a real easy form to fill out. You put the name, contact information, and tell us why the kid you're nominating should be Kid of the Week. Or you can just email us, stevecochranshow@wgnradio.com. We'll review them and be in touch.
We'll come back with Dr. Kevin Most here in a second. We'll get to the traffic update. I'm not going to bring this up to Doc necessarily, but the world's oldest man died overnight. Asian gentleman, he was 112. So I don't know who the new world's oldest man is, but the 112-year-old is gone. And no, I didn't bump him from a show that I should have interviewed him. But this was surprising. 112, hoverboard. Fell off his hoverboard.
That is
those
so not
true. So dangerous. Eagles, Best of My Love. This is more of the 70s. Or the Eagles were one of your top three bands of the 70s. And maybe one for me.
Every night I'm lying in bed, holding you close in my dreams.
You know what's going to happen as we continue to play these songs to celebrate the life of Glenn Frey? I'm going to start throwing in call letters of places I was fired from. This would probably have been 1230 WENY, Elmira, New York. Dr. Kevin Most joins me. Doc, you grew up with the Eagles. Come on, man.
I did. This is, you know, these were college years, so, you know, it's sad to see, you know, he just a great guy, great career, and yeah, it does. It brings back a lot of memories.
And I want you, this is your homework, I want you to watch the Eagles documentary that Allison Eastwood did a couple of years ago that's been on Showtime off and on for the last 2 years. The band, The Last Waltz for the band, is a great live concert documentary, but the Eagles documentary is... it's the best thing I've ever seen on the background of a band.
Cool.
So that's your assignment. I want you to drop Patient Care and whatever else you're planning on doing today.
Perfect.
So Northwestern Medicine Impact every day brings us Dr. Most. Thanks for taking time on an extra hit with you. I appreciate that. So we're told that Glenn Frey had pneumonia and rheumatoid arthritis and ulcerative colitis, that combination of things. Caused an intestinal surgery that he was recovering from, that apparently there are some complications. And those things separately seem manageable. Do those things together create this kind of ending?
Yeah, and you hit it right on the head there. You know, separately, many of your listeners are listening going, wow, I have that, or I have that, or I've had that. You know, so put together, it is kind of devastating. You know, when you get these two, especially the rheumatoid arthritis and the ulcerative colitis, those are very debilitating diseases. And it's not so much the disease, to be honest with you. It's the treatment that we give people to try to alleviate some of those symptoms, which can cause some of the problems. So ulcerative colitis, inflammation of the colon, the large intestine, sometimes it can be tolerated with just medications. Others, when it gets so bad, and that's in about somewhere between 25 and 50% of people, it gets so bad that we have to go in and do surgery and remove the colon. And it appears that that's what happened to Glenn in, I believe, in November.
So where would the pneumonia come in? I mean, is that just a product of the recovery?
Well, it can be a product of the recovery. But the other big thing is that for both of those diseases, we use drugs that suppress the immune system, because these are both illnesses where the immune system is turned on for some unknown reason. For rheumatoid arthritis, the immune system is triggered, and it attacks the joints. And we say, gosh, that makes no sense. Well, in order for us to treat it, we can either take down the inflammation, but it really doesn't get to the core of the disease, or we can try to convince and turn off that immune system so that it stops attacking the joint. Unfortunately, as we do that, you have a higher possibility of infections because you're turning off the immune system, which is what protects us from diseases like pneumonia.
Do you hear about a combination of illnesses like this and somebody, and by the way, 67 when Doc and I were growing up was old. It's not old anymore.
No.
It's not just not old because we can see it from here. It's not old because it's not old. So do you see a combination like this in a relatively young guy still, or is this unusual?
It's very unusual. Yeah. So you know the combination of them is just, you know, bad fate. But for him, ulcerative colitis is often before the age of 30, but it can happen to anyone at any age. So often some of these times the rheumatoid arthritis is almost always later, except for juvenile rheumatoid arthritis. So when you have the ulcerative colitis, often that surgery is done before any of the other case or other problems come up from the rheumatoid.
Is it always removing the colon?
No, it's not always removing the colon. Sometimes it's treating the inflammation. So sometimes we can calm the colon down with just medication. And if we can, for many people, 50, 60% of people, that's going to be okay for them, and they're going to be able to tolerate the disease. They're going to still have some of the symptoms, some pain, some diarrhea, but at least they have not had to have the surgery. For others, it gets to a point where there's nothing we're going to be able to do to calm this down. We're going to have to remove this portion of the colon.
My mother developed rheumatoid arthritis in her 50s and a pretty brutal 20 years plus after that. The ulcerative colitis piece of this, it seems like something we've heard about in the last generation. Was it called something else when we were kids?
No, colitis is what it used to be called. And then as we started to look at it more, we found that it had ulcers in it, and we really just started to find more medications for it. So people used to tolerate it quite a bit. The rheumatoid arthritis, like you said, you know, my mom has it as well. And the medications that we used to use for that were very difficult to even keep the symptoms under control. So you saw people with hands that were, you know, unable to move, and people actually ended up in wheelchairs sometimes because of it. With the advancements of some of the medications we have, and you've seen the ads for them, you know, these are the Enbrels and the Humira and the sure. Remicade, you know, those are the ones that, although they're fighting the disease, they also turn off the immune system. So they're ones that we really have to kind of watch the side effects to make sure that people don't end up with pneumonia or other infections.
Yeah, so that's the thing. He could have been recovering in the hospital with the immune system shut off, and it can develop there, I suppose, huh?
Absolutely. And for him, if he had bad case of ulcerative colitis, you know, they have weight loss, they have nutritional problems. Well, you really have to be pretty healthy in order to come back from a major surgery like that. You have a lot of healing tissue, not only on the outside, but you have healing tissue on the inside as well. So if your nutritional status isn't great, then that can end up causing problems with the healing, and then you have problems on top of it. So that's why, you know, we always try, when people have surgery, we're trying to get them back to eating regular food and up and active as much as we can, because that's going to help that healing process. And some of these patients, it's very difficult to do.
Anytime we have a celebrity death, and Glenn Frey again passed away at 67 from the conditions we're talking about, we try to learn some lesson from it. I don't know that there's anything here that jumps out other than the fact that if you're symptomatic, get to the doctor.
Yeah, there's that. And I would say the other big thing is, if you're going to take medications, make sure you discuss with a physician not only what the medication can do, but what are the side effects. Because that's the balance of what do I want. Do I want to stay with a drug like an anti-inflammatory for my arthritis, knowing that, okay, I just need to protect my stomach and my liver a little bit, but to be honest with you, I'm not concerned about getting pneumonia or other diseases. Or if you're going to go with the bigger drugs, knowing that you're going to have more of a total symptom relief, you're saying, I'm willing to take that risk because I want to be active and I want to do those things. You know, Phil Mickelson's a perfect example.
Yeah.
Couldn't get out of bed, and now he takes his medication, and boy, you know, he's still playing golf professionally.
Dr. Kevin Most, Northwestern Medicine Impact every day. He's at Central DuPage Hospital this morning, where apparently you picked up a cold.
I did. You know, I've been fighting this cold for a couple weeks now. It's kind of getting frustrating to me.
Here's what I would tell you, Doc, and yeah. I want you to follow my instructions. I want you to push the fluids.
Okay.
And maybe some Mucinex. Okay. And, you know, there's a lot of different Mucinex versions out there, but I like the Mucinex as a product, and I need you to get some rest.
Brilliant.
Okay. Really? Is that exactly what you tell me every time I have a cold?
Hold on. I'm writing it down, what you told me. Push.
Dr. Kevin Most, Northwestern Medicine Impact every day. Thanks, buddy.
You got it. Take care.
Feel better. I remember this. City girls just seem to find out early. You can't hide your lion eyes. Your smile's a thin disguise. It's the Eagles.
City girls just seem to find out. Just a smile.
The music of the Eagles and Don Henley, Glenn Frey. Well, of course, Don Henley, but Glenn Frey, in case you missed the news, died yesterday at the age of 67 from a combination of illnesses.
Hit the post again.
Well, I can't help myself. Old disc jockeys never die. They just turn into talk show hosts. It's a 7-Eleven. Paul Coit standing by. But before we get to Paul Coit, and Ross, I'm going to need you on this as my biblical consultant to the program, if you would turn down our Eagles friends here. And yesterday, Mr. Trump, and you're going to hear this in a moment, Mr. Trump will refer to a biblical passage.
Right.
In an attempt to sound like an evangelical Christian.
Yes.
As he was speaking to Liberty College, the university started by Jerry Falwell in Virginia. These are hardcore religious kids.
Yeah, it's a very conservative Christian school.
Okay.
And one of the things that isn't part of this clip, but he's boasting about record attendance, mm-hmm. like Ted Cruz announcing his run for presidency at the same university. It was a required attendance event. So it was not record attendance because
everyone had to be there.
Same with Cruz.
Okay. Okay.
And I think this clip kind of speaks for itself.
Well, before you play it, though, how many Corinthians were there? Because I always thought it was 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, that sort of terminology.
Yeah, so Paul...
And in the same way, when I would be in Paris and I would try to speak French and I would stand out as someone who clearly never spoke French.
Right.
Donald Trump in this clip has never spoken Christian.
It really seems like he had something put in front of him to read. There was a couple letters, and generally people say first and second.
Okay. All right. Here's Trump yesterday.
We're going to protect Christianity, and I can say that. I don't have to be politically correct. We're going to protect it. You know? And I asked Jerry and I asked some of the folks, because I hear this is a major theme right here, but 2 Corinthians, right? 2 Corinthians 3:17. That's the whole ballgame. Where the Spirit of the Lord, right? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And here there is Liberty College, but Liberty University. But it is so true. You know, when you think, and that's really, is that the one? Is that the one you like? I think that's the one you like, because I loved it. And it's so representative of what's taken place. But we are going to protect Christianity.
He's never read the Bible before in his life. And you know what? That's okay.
Turn him off.
And it's okay. It's okay if you haven't read the Bible. It's okay if that's your personal choice. But don't act like you know what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. This is after the quote where he was asked, what's your favorite testament, old or new? And he refused to pick one.
From the first book of BS.
Right.
Did he say, oh, there's two?
Yeah, basically.
Who did the rewrite? Because I have a lot of friends in the publishing business. I love it when he goes, that's the whole ball game, right?
Yeah. 2 Corinthians 3:17. It's the whole ball game.
Well, what were the kids doing in the audience?
Laughing.
They were absolutely laughing at him. And that he interpreted it as, you know, people enjoying him being there. And they were laughing at the fact that he said 2 Corinthians.
What do you buy somebody who has everything and can afford anything? Is there a Rosetta Stone for Christianity?
No, but there's about to be. I thought he would like the Bible. It's got, most of the time, it's got gold leaflets. It seems right up his alley.
Yeah. I'm sure he has one, but it must have frightened him when he opened it.
Yeah, right.
This is impossible to read. Who wrote this? Who organized these pages? I don't know why I turned Trump into Seinfeld there.
He was.
At 7:15, Paul Coit will join us live from London in just a moment. That ties into this because Paul Coit is our, of course, London bureau chief. And in London, in Parliament, they are debating whether or not to ban Donald Trump from England.
How about that?
Kick him out of the country. Here's my friend Paul Coit, live from London. Andrea, say hi to Paul.
Hi, Paul.
Hello, everyone. Happy New Year to you all. How are you all?
We're all great. How are you?
I'm lovely, thank you. Yeah, smashing. The Corinthians, he said, I think it was something, didn't they knock Dave Clark 5 off number one in 1965? I think that's what... him saying.
That's what he was trying to get to. Corinthians, one heck of a band.
They were. What a bass player. Curly. He was unbelievable.
And oh, could they write a letter? All right. So here's the deal. Your country doesn't take this matter lightly. And in Parliament, in Parliament, they're actually debating, or maybe they're done now, but they were debating whether or not to ever allow Trump into the country again.
Yes, exactly. It was going on for like hours. And these are the words that were branded by British members of Parliament. And I'll be honest with you, one of the words, I don't even know what it means. One of the words is stupid, a stupid, dangerous person, and a foolish wazzock. And that is something I've never heard. I think it's actually something to do with Harry Potter, but I don't know.
Wazzock? Let me go to Andre on this. What's a wazzock?
I don't know. I have to Google wazzock. I have to go to the Wikipedia for wazzock.
A wazzock?
A wazzock.
All right, now, if Parliament was taking seriously the chance that Donald Trump could be the president of the United States,
yeah,
they probably wouldn't be engaging in this.
Well, you kind of think that, wouldn't you? Because maybe they're thinking, hold on, is there a chance that he might actually become the president? So then what are we going to do? It's because there was a petition and 500,000 people signed it. I know I've not seen anybody offering me a petition to sign. I don't know who's been signing the petition, but they said, well, because we've got a petition. What did you do with the petition? Like loads of paper with lots of signatures on? So I know. So then they've said, well, we have to debate this, and we have to, you know, being the country that we are, we have to take it seriously and debate whether he should be allowed back in the country. But I think they've come to the decision they don't want him to turn him into a martyr. I mean, really, is he ever going to be a martyr for not being allowed in? So,
well, he's a wazzock.
Welcome to come in if he
he's a wazzock. I don't know if he's a martyr. What is a wazzock?
Urban Dictionary defining a wazzock or wazzock as an idiot, a moron, or a daft person.
I've never heard that term before. A wazzock.
Wow.
A wazzock.
That couldn't apply to Donald Trump, could he? I mean, it's outrageous.
I of all the times you and I have insulted each other, I'd never have called you a wazzock, and you've never called me that.
You know what? I'm just looking back on all the lost years. I've not been able to use the word wazzock. I'm going to use it all the time.
By the way, related.
But apparently, the weird thing is that they were debating whether he would be banned, but amazingly, I mean, this really is amazing for our parliament, his hair would have still been allowed to come into the country.
Is that right? I did not know that.
Yeah, absolutely.
By the way,
I'm
looking for synonyms for wazzock here, and apparently wanker is one of them.
Oh, I don't know about that. See, I'll tell you, if you'd said that, you know very well if you say that in this country, all hell would break loose. You can't be saying that.
No, you can't say wanker, and you can't say bollocks.
No. Oh, dear. The older I get, the more painful it seems to be to hear someone broadcasting those words.
Yeah, I know. I'm telling you, there's words in this country that you can say there and vice versa. But when I say bollocks, it makes Paul crazy because it's like, it's all the alarm bells go off, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. I'd say, you know, similar, but you couldn't. So it's just, that's it.
All right. So Donald Trump, to let people know, you can breathe easy if you're a Trump supporter. As of now, he will be allowed back into England, into the United Kingdom.
I think we're okay. It seems that he will be allowed because they thought, well, it's just to give him more publicity, the fact that we're debating this. But you know what I really, really enjoy? He's got these golf clubs up in Scotland, and there was all these arguments about these huge, you know these big propeller things, you know, these big energy things. You know that, you know, I'm using the exact terminology, that spin very fast and they're very high and they're wind turbines.
That's turbines. That's what they're called.
Wind turbines. And it's so great just to be near a wind turbine within a mile of when Donald Trump goes up to Scotland just to watch the hair in the wind turbine. So just to see that, it's almost worth letting him into the country for. It's magnificent.
There was a protected Scottish wetland. And frankly, isn't all of Scotland wetland? But there was a protected Scottish wetland where he wanted to build a golf course, and he was so offended because local folks didn't want the wetland disturbed for a rich guy's golf course. And I think in the end he won because, you know, he just poured so much money on it. But listen, he's a delight, and I'm thrilled that the borders are still open because we would love to send him to you. Who is the who's the most annoying celebrity Brit right now? Maybe we could do a trade.
God, you know, I just can't think. We've just got so many, you know, but I'd actually say Donald Trump is the top of every list, really.
So in other words, we send you Trump and then you send him back?
You know, it would be like Trump tennis. Wouldn't that be great?
Oh.
You know, I think maybe what they should have done is not actually debate it, but ban him without him knowing. So then he can come to passport control, and then they can say, no, I'm sorry, you're not allowed in here. You'll just have to get back on the plane again. And then he goes back, and then we say, well, maybe you can come over, but just to really annoy him. I think that would be the fun way of doing it.
And don't you think that when President Trump is inaugurated, one of the first things he's going to do is put me in prison?
I think you're probably going to be fairly low down the list. There's going to be a few in front of you. But
you
if I was him, I'd just send you over here, really.
I've been kind of hard on him.
It's really?
At Coitey on social media, C-O-Y-T-E-Y, and Twitter's back up. So now you can reach Paul and follow him on Twitter and Facebook as well, C-O-Y-T-E-Y. Well, thank you for the update. So we can breathe easy. Donald Trump is still welcome in your country.
He's still welcome. I wouldn't say open arms, but, you know, he can still come over if he wants to. Well, if he has to.
Open arms, closed fist.
Disgraced and then wants somewhere else to live, then maybe he can come for 10 minutes.
All right, thank you. You want to do your big professional broadcaster out? Something like, I'm Paul Coit, live from Parliament?
Yes, I'm Paul Coit for the London Bureau, sitting in my living room on a very uncomfortable chair. Shifting from one side to the other.
That's my friend Paul. Let me hear Trump again. I feel like I need a biblical lesson this morning.
That's the whole ball game.
So for both Corinthians, then. We're back after this on 720 WGN. Oh, this is great. I don't know if you know anything about me, but you know I was running down the road trying to loosen my love. I had seven women on my mind. And four to one to own me, two to one to stone me. Forgot to tell you about the one that was a friend of mine. '727, and remembering Glenn Frey, some of the biggest names of the 70s and still superstar rock names, all had this interconnectivity when they were first getting started. And Jackson Browne was the older, more experienced guy who rented this room that technically he couldn't rent out to Don Henley and Glenn Frey when they were first starting the Eagles. I think it was 70 or 71. And Jackson Browne was very meticulous in how he would write songs. And he had a piano, and he would play the first, you know, few notes on the piano of a song over and over and over again until it made Glenn Frey nuts enough where he said they had to move. But Glenn Frey and Don Henley remained friends with Jackson Browne for life, and also Bob Seger. You know, Glenn Frey from Detroit, Bob Seger from Detroit, and Seger was a huge influence on the band as well. But one of the main figures in their life was Linda Ronstadt. And Linda Ronstadt was already a star in Hollywood and a star in the music scene. And everybody loved her. And she had that amazing voice. And she hired Glenn Frey and Don Henley to play in her band. And it was somewhere after a year or so, maybe 2 years. And they went to her and said, we got an idea for a band. We want to start our own band. And she wished them well and helped them along their way. Where a lot of people would have said, what are you talking about? I gave you your break. And without Linda Ronstadt, there may not be the Eagles.
See, a lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, so cool stuff, right?
It's a really good story. And she went on to become huge herself. She was already
first
big
concert,
at that point.
First concert I ever saw, Linda Ronstadt.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Every guy had a crush on Linda Ronstadt, didn't he?
She came out in a cheerleader's outfit.
Okay, there's the answer.
Yeah. I didn't even know she was a cheerleader.
Did you watch the rest of the concert?
I don't remember. I was 16, I think, right? And that was when you would drive to the concert, and you'd have to hope that the disc jockey on the radio would play one of the songs from the person who you're going to see. It wasn't like now where you could actually have a playlist put together of all their music. Why are you playing Barry Manilow going to a Linda Ronstadt concert? All in beautiful AM. It's 729. Well, how do you feel about the idea? And Kevin and Mark Carman were talking about this on the opening bell with the Grzanis this morning. How do you feel about the Cubs wanting to shut down Addison and what, Kevin, is it Addison and Clark they want to shut down?
Yeah.
On game days.
They're essentially trying to build a perimeter around the stadium. because of the, I mean, you have sidewalks butting up against the stadium where most stadiums have parking lots around. They have security. So that's essentially what they're trying to do.
Okay. Pardon my cynicism. Are the sidewalks around the stadium concerned for security? Or are they a concern so they will have this mall-like environment for the entertainment complex they're building and that wouldn't be interrupted by traffic?
It's probably the latter. The sidewalks
on... You think? Just a little?
The sidewalks on Addison are so narrow anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then Captain Morgan Club now takes up most of the, you know, that part of the stadium, or the ballpark, rather, by Sheffield and Addison. And then sometimes they shut down Sheffield completely, and Addison is only one-way traffic. So...
Well, you used to live up
and
there.
Waveland's close, too.
I live...
Yeah, and Waveland is close.
Blocks from the ballpark.
Right. So when you think about... You know, you're entitled to have your life.
Yeah.
Whether you're going to a Cubs game or not, I think it's quite unfair to the people in the neighborhood that you're going to create that much bigger of a traffic hassle for the sake of the Cubs.
Yeah, no, I agree. Addison and Clark, I would not shut down that intersection. Sheffield and Waveland, that's a different story because that's in the back by the bleachers.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't think that's too off base. Yeah, no pun intended. But Clark and... Addison would be crazy.
It is a big security issue, though.
But dude, I'm telling you, this is commerce.
Yeah,
you got security. Security. If somebody wants to drive into the side of Wrigley Field in an exploding car, they're going to find a way to do it.
Right.
Perhaps, but you don't want to make it easier because right now you could literally drive a truck filled with explosives right by the stadium without even parking. And blow it up and do a lot of damage.
Well, that's what security is there for.
What you're saying, Steve, is basically what Boston did near Fenway Park, which is
what the Cardinals did.
Right.
Yeah.
You develop an entertainment mall.
The streets would only be open to emergency and police vehicles and buses, according to the report.
But I could be wrong. Listen.
ISIS is creating a new environment of security because they're trying these new ways of, you know, they're hitting these soft targets, as it were. They're finding vulnerabilities. And I think it's smart for any place that has a vulnerability to beef up security. It's easy to be. I don't know. I'm half and half on this because for years it's been a security risk.
Does ISIS have a good baseball team? I haven't followed them.
They got a strong outfield. Yeah,
and outfield strong.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's ridiculous.
All right. What am I doing? Quick break. Come back with the big story next on 720 WGN. Dean after 8, Coach Q after 9. Are you doing a Hawkopedia today?
Mr. Cat already did it.
Okay.
We'll have that.
More Eagles music all morning long. And, again, we're foregoing with the normal slogan of much less music, much more talk, and saluting Glenn Frey
and
playing Eagles tunes all morning. .743, celebrities remembering Glenn Frey. Remember this? The Eagles take it to the limit on the Cochran Show.
All alone at the end of the evening, when the bright lights have faded to blue, I was thinking about a woman who might have loved me, and I never.
You grew up in the 70s. And Mary, you can vouch for me on this, even though you're much younger than I am.
Oh, yes. Much.
You couldn't go more than 10 minutes on your car radio without hearing an Eagles record.
Oh, how many hits did they even have?
100,209,000.
That many?
I mean, it's just... You look at the list, it just goes on and on and on and on and on.
And then Glenn Frey's big hits in the 80s. Come on, some of those were good songs.
I am dedicating the 8 o'clock hour to your 80s memories of Glenn Frey.
Okay, thank you.
Name one.
Oh. The Heat Is On.
Oh, that's right. The Heat Is On.
Yeah, and others. Oh, Smuggler's Blues. I like Smuggler's Blues.
Yeah. There's many.
And what was the one from Miami Vice?
That was the, wasn't that the Jan
Something
Hammer
in the City.
Theme? Hot in the City.
No, that was Nick Gilder.
Oh, yeah.
You Belong in the City.
That's it.
That's it.
See? Look at that. Three we thought of.
Bette
like
Midler,
that.
Tim McGraw, Steve Martin, a million others all coming out and saying things, mostly on Twitter, but making statements about the passing of Glenn Frey. Tim McGraw says his music was personally inspirational. He leaves a timeless legacy. Steve Martin said he was a good friend. We loved you. Rob Lowe said it was the soundtrack of his life, and he's devastated by the loss of one of the nicest men he ever met. Travis Tritt, who did an interesting video thing with the Eagles back in the day when they tried to get the band back together. Travis Tritt wanted to record an Eagles tribute album, and Irving Azoff, one of the music genius managers of all time, sort of forced a reunion after the band had been apart for 14 years, and the Travis Tritt video experience sort of showed them that they could get along again and launched that tour back in the early 90s that took them through the next, I don't know how many years, until this past spring when they wrapped up the tour.
They were at United Center, I think, for a couple of dates.
Yeah, I didn't see either one.
As well. I
saw them back in the day, but I
hadn't
seen
them
in a long time. Well, you always think you're going to have another shot.
Right.
You know? Huey Lewis says, Fry was a brilliant songwriter, talented, funny, cynical in all the right ways, and sweet. Paul Stanley from Kiss, shocked us to report the death of Glenn Fry. A brilliant songwriter. We shared memories at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Just shocked. Ryan Adams, RIP Glenn Fry. Travel to the stars safely, bro. Mickey Dolenz from the Monkees, joining one hell of a heavenly band. Carol King, RIP Glenn Fry. Deepest condolences to his family. Sheryl Crow, Glenn Fry, you'll be sorely missed. Thanks for all you gave to us. And on it goes. So, and at 7:46, Mary, speaking of Carole King, you saw the musical, didn't you?
I saw it last week. Beautiful.
Loved it?
Oh, phenomenal.
Did you see it?
I saw it, yeah. I saw it right before Christmas. It was awesome. Loved it.
I cried.
I gotta go, right?
You have to go. I didn't realize how many songs that she wrote.
Yeah, like Locomotion.
Yeah.
And all those early hits that all the other,
that the
Shirelles
sang. Yeah.
Shirelles.
And the young woman that plays the lead, she kills
Brothers.
It.
She's fantastic. Fantastic.
Yes, something Miller. What was her first name? I forgot. But yeah, there's two sisters. There's two sisters that do the part.
Young Carol.
One here and one in another city.
King and then older Carol King?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
no.
They split it up.
Yes. Different shows.
And they're sisters.
Yeah, and they're sisters. And they're both really good.
What's her name? You see it there?
Let me get her. Yeah, let me get her along.
I want to make sure
that
she gets her due.
Something Miller, isn't it?
At 7:47, next hour, Jeff Morrow will be on the phone with us. Kevin, explain who Jeff Morrow is.
Jeff Morrow is the Sandwich King. He's got a couple shows on the Food Network. He's teamed up with Pork and Mindy's, which is a new restaurant here in Chicago. And they just opened their first location. So he's going to come on and talk about that. And
What we talked about you going out and eating his food,
yeah,
and then reviewing it. When is that going to happen?
Soon, hopefully.
Okay,
we'll work out the details. But they're going to bring us food today. I'm excited about that.
Playing the role of Carole King here in town. What's the play called again?
It's called Beautiful, the Carole King musical. It's Abby Mueller.
Abby Mueller.
Abby Mueller.
And the Mueller sisters.
Her sister Jessie.
And she's
won a
on
Tony
the New York
Award
show
for the same.
I did not know that.
Yes.
That there was two sisters.
How about that?
Who played that?
This is one of my favorite Eagles songs. Already gone.
Well, I heard some people talking just the other day. And they said you were gonna put me on a shelf.
I got some news for you. How great a line is that? You're gonna dump me? Oh, I don't think so. I'm already gone. I'm gonna sing my victory song. Glenn Fry, gone way too young at 67, playing Eagles music all morning. And Dave joins us on the phone with a question. Yes, Dave, what is your Ask Me Anything question?
Hey, Steve, good morning.
Good morning.
Real quickly, do you have a creche next to the door that contains a microphone, headset, and melted Blackhawks ice water that you bless yourself with as you walk out the door?
You know what? It's funny you say that, Dave. It is. It's my crash bag. You know, the NTSB has a crash bag. Whenever there's an incident, they have to go. Dave's right. And, Dave, you're a big winner right off the bat. Hold the line. I like Dave.
That's pretty funny.
Louie on 720 WGN. Good morning, Louie. Got a question?
Good question. This has been bugging me for a long time.
Yeah.
Is Dean Richards some way related to Randy Baldassamo?
Randy Baldassamo and Dean are not related. However, Dean does buy all of her hats.
This is true.
Yes. So that's true. And hold on, Louie, you're a big winner
Randy
as well.
Randy has very cool hats.
Yes, Randy is the queen of the hat. I like those guys. See, that's what I'm saying. Popping.
I don't even want to know, but why would he think they're related? They don't really look alike.
Is Randy Greek or Italian?
Randy is Italian.
Okay.
Dean is Greek.
Mm-hmm. Well,
they could still be related.
Yeah, right,
but
right.
They're not.
From Catherine in the 847, who's your favorite Blackhawk to interview? Well, I'm partial to Coach Q. You know, I like Coach Q. His mustache could be surly, but I like Coach Q. From the 224, I'd love to hear everyone's thoughts on the legalization and taxation of recreational marijuana in Illinois. Good idea and good way to fix the budget. Yes and yes. You? Where are you on weed? And by the way, I've never smoked pot in my life.
I never have either, ever. And that's true.
Yeah.
I don't know about the rest of the show, but no one's chiming in.
I do a lot of LSD, you know, because I grew up in the 70s.
I don't know if it could fix the
legalization
budget.
And taxation.
It is legal. It's legal.
Well,
now,
medical marijuana.
If you have if you have the prescription for it and you pay for it,
but this is recreational marijuana.
I'm not a fan of that.
Okay,
I have to say,
Mary.
Medicinal, yes.
Okay, recreational, no. Grzanich, I'd ask you, but you're wasted.
Mary, don't talk about the last girl's night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think anything to get money into the coffers, sure, tax money. Go for it.
630, you always say Gwen Stefani's a horrible person. Why? I don't want to tell the story over and over again, but Gwen Stefani stole all of my family's money.
That is so not true. She was just a bad interview, right? She was mean,
interview.
Showed up late.
Grandma, are you reading a racing form?
You got it, Dickie. Grandma going to buy a race.
Grandma? Grandma.
I thought that was Gwen.
Grandma's weighing in on Gwen.
Is there a reason you guys are playing commercials in the middle of the conversation? Okay.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Sean, don't touch anything. From the 847, would Steve consider being press secretary in the Trump administration?
Would you?
That's a winner. That's a winner.
Come on, would you do it?
No.
Come on.
No. No. You know how they say the president, if the president asks, you have to respond?
Yes.
My response would be no.
Okay.
Yeah. From the 808, how do you deal with the highs and below freezing temperatures for weeks on an end? Must be awful. Signed, Randy in Kalua, Hawaii.
Oh, whatever. You know what? And enough of that, too. All the people on Facebook and Twitter going, it's 85 degrees in Florida. We don't care.
We're
going to
be underwater soon anyway.
779, what three dead people would you like to have dinner with?
What three dead people?
We'll come back to that. You got to give that some thought.
Oh,
that's not one you can do quickly. Steve, are you married? Yes, to Tyra Banks for the last several years. No, to Maureen Cochran.
Yeah.
And I'm
not
lucky.
Tyra.
And I'm lucky.
Yes.
As any of you listening to the show would know. from the 847, will WGN be broadcast in HD? I don't know what HD is. High density? High density broadcasting?
Well, there was the HD.
High difficulty?
Radios that came out, but no one uses them.
Yeah.
We broadcast in stereo.
I thought we broadcast in HD. We broadcast in Wi-Fi? Do we broadcast in Hulu?
Well, HD is like a whole separate. Actual radio.
We broadcast in Netflix. I know that.
We broadcast in stereo, so it'll sound better than others.
From the 815, a question for everyone on the show. Do you hang out outside the show? If you do, do you really enjoy each other? Because I'm not buying it.
We do.
That's tremendous.
No, we do and we do.
We
right?
do hang out.
Yeah,
sure.
We do. Right?
Absolutely.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Right?
Did I miss a memo or something?
You play golf all
you
the time.
You just got here, dude. You're hanging out eventually.
I'm a probie.
And let's see. There was another one here I wanted to get to.
Hope you play golf, Steve. Otherwise, you're not going anywhere.
No, I know we're late, but there's another one I got to.
I drive carts really well.
Yeah, that's not what I heard. No. Not since the incident. I don't know. It was a question about Genucel, but the wording was beautiful.
Oh, I saw that. Do we really use it, or are we just making that up? No, I use
it. Here
it
is. Here it is. From the 630, do you really, 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 in all honesty, use Genucel, or is it just because the company pays you? I want to see invoices. Can you produce them?
Why doesn't anybody believe us?
I don't know. We don't.
Well,
everybody asks me that.
It's literally
people ask me
the
that too.
Only thing I've ever seen that works and
me
does
too.
What it says.
I use it too.
Yeah, but
we
do.
Use it. Really I use
do.
It twice.
I used to do it twice a day. Now I do it in the morning.
No, I do
because I usually forget at night.
I still need it both morning and night.
So,
am I there? Hello, are we there? Hello, yeah, hello. Is this me? Is this you?
Yeah. Hello? Hello? Computer crash?
Hello.
All right, we're going to play
some... Yeah, that was an adventure.
We're going to play some Eagles music.
Here, I got it now.
All right, good. This is for you, Andrea. Dean, you should have been on earlier when we played all the Eagles classics from the 70s. This is the 80s Eagles for Andrea.
You hit the post again.
I love when you guys do DJ talk. Yeah, man.
I don't remember it sounding this clear.
How do you not like this song?
No, are you playing? Are you guys playing it off a cassette from the 80s? Do you remember the movie from which this song comes?
Was it Beverly Hills Cop?
Beverly Hills Cop, yeah.
Glenn Frey, 80s music this hour because Andrea's making me do it.
Thanks.
What are your favorite Glenn Frey 80s songs, Andrea?
You Belong.
All three of them. You Belong in the City,
Smuggler's
Heat is On,
Blues.
And Smuggler's
Heat
Blues
is
a good song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite is The One You Love.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to stay with the one who loves you, or are you going back to the one you love?
I think I bought the Miami Vice soundtrack for that song, for the You Belong in the City. And, of course, the Jan Hammer Miami Vice theme. Come on. It's good.
I just had a major WNUA flashback.
I bet you did when you said Jan Hammer.
Jan Hammer.
So I admit it early, Dean. I love the Eagles.
Me too.
And the Allison Eastwood documentary is one maybe the best behind-the-scenes rock documentaries ever because it's not just all concert footage. It's talking to the guys. So that's cool. I highly recommend it.
The Eagles sold more records during the 70s than any other group.
I mean,
you think of, you know, Fleetwood Mac and the Rumors album and Carole King and, you know, the many, many, many big, strong groups. The Eagles were so dominant. And you were a DJ then. I was a DJ then. We played all of these songs. Take It Easy, Peaceful, Easy Feeling, Tequila Sunrise, Already Gone, Lion Eyes, New Kid in Town, Heartache Tonight. When Hotel California came out, my mind was blown by how amazing that was. And the many great songs that came from there. And then Don Henley said in his statement about Glenn Frey yesterday, for 45 years we've been like a family. And like in any family, there is often dysfunction. The group broke up in 1980. They all went on solo careers from 1980 to 94, got back together again, continued to make great music, fantastic music. 6 Grammy Awards. They were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Countless. It was like 5 consecutive number one albums. Unprecedented.
The success is amazing, success, yeah. And it started with Linda Ronstadt. Linda Ronstadt allowing them and wishing them well and blessing them to leave her band and go off and start a little something called the Eagles. Irving Azoff, the diminutive music producer, was a huge part of it. You know, you mentioned that Henley thing. The thing I loved about Don Henley's statement is, you know, this is not Mick Jagger and Keith Richards or Paul McCartney and John Lennon and people arguing over who gets credit. Don Henley said Glenn was the one that started it all. He was a spark plug, the man with a plan. He loved his wife and kids more than anything. I'll be grateful for every day that he was in my life.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a brother. Tribute. That's a friend.
It's a beautiful tribute, you know. And, you know, he acknowledges that there was a tension through the years and there was dysfunction. And they figured it out and they got, you know, they settled their differences and went on being friends again. He said he can't imagine a world without Glenn Frey in it. So, you know, it's
really cool.
You know, very, very tangible. And, you know, the people who are reacting to this, if there was Twitter today, you'd be able to see it. But last night, maybe this is what crashed. Maybe Glenn Frey broke the Internet, broke Twitter.
Well, he was 67. He was probably not that big a fan of Twitter. So maybe he shut it down. Maybe that was his first thing.
It's possible. Let's shut that thing down. But, I mean, people, fans of his friends and fans have been reacting to the death of Glenn Frey. Justin Timberlake said that my mom used to play Eagles records for me in the car on the way to grade school. We've lost one of the greatest songwriters of all time. Country star Brad Paisley said, thank you for the music that's paved the way for so many others. Among the things that Don Henley said, he said he was funny, he was bullheaded, mercurial, generous, deeply talented, and driven. We're in a state of shock and in a state of disbelief. But also, talked about the profundity. He said, we were two young men who made the pilgrimage to Los Angeles together with the same dream to make our mark in the music industry. Steve Martin said that they were close friends from the early days. He said, we love you, Glenn Frey.
Well, you think about it. Steve Martin and the Eagles, they became stars in the same time period.
Same time frame, right. Exactly right. Amazing, amazing music. I mean, this is... And how weird is it? Could this be a more horrible couple of weeks since we've had, since the beginning of
Bowie.
The year with all of these deaths, with Bowie, with, Celine Dion loses her husband and her brother within a couple of days. The drummer for the group Mott the Hoople died yesterday. The lead singer from the 60s band American Breed, Gary Liozzo, I think I'm mispronouncing his name. I apologize for that. But he was, had the song Bend Me, Shape Me. He was the lead singer for that and went on to produce and engineer Styx and REO Speedwagon. And this has been, I cannot ever remember a period with so many music and showbiz deaths, within a period. Natalie Cole.
That's right.
Within, this basically the same time.
You think it's all a reaction to Trump?
Maybe so. You say that some people are looking as death as a better alternative.
All right, I got to ask you about the Oscars.
Oh boy, here we go.
So Jada Pinkett Smith announces she's not going.
Right.
So I assume Will's not going.
I would think that would be an uncomfortable night in the Smith household if one went and one didn't.
Spike Lee's not going. And right. Andrea reminded us this morning, Spike Lee's supposed to get an honorary Oscar.
He got
year.
One already.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, they gave one to him. They do those honorary Oscars earlier in the year. And he was glad to accept the honorary Oscar when they gave it to him a couple of months ago. And he said, appreciate the respect, but he says he feels like he has to speak up on this.
Where does this go? In other words, Chris Rock comes out. Chris Rock has an opportunity to do just a killer monologue now because so much of the material is going to help write itself. And I think he'll deliver on that. But is this now going to be the change? Because you can't – well, I shouldn't say you can't because you can. But you shouldn't nominate a film because there's an African-American in it or a white person?
No, you absolutely shouldn't. But, here are the things to consider. The Golden Globes, the Screen Actors Guild Awards, the Critics' Choice Awards, the Producers Guild Awards, the Writers Guild Awards, every single major awards group somehow has found, I don't think they're going, get me a black, get me a Hispanic, get me one of this and that. They're looking at the movies that are available this year, and all of these other organizations somehow found non-white performers and projects that they thought were worthy of nomination. We're not talking about winning here. We're talking about simply the nomination process. Every single other group somehow found performances like Idris Elba, like Michael B. Jordan, like Will Smith, who I thought was pretty good actually in the movie Concussion.
Yep.
There's a whole slew. Angela Bassett, as much as I hated Chirac, Angela Bassett was actually quite good.
The director for Creed, right?
Yeah, Ryan Coogler was he did a phenomenal job directing that movie. So, I mean, there are worthy performances. Every single other awards group managed to find somebody that they thought was worthy to nominate. The Academy Awards has not even nominated a person of color in 2 years. They haven't found one person in 2 years.
So if Chris Rock...
And the problem is... the nomination process.
That's what I was going to say. If Chris Rock crushes this, does this change that?
Well, a couple of things have happened since then. The problem is this nomination process. The people who do the voting, the nomination, they are 94% white, they are 64% male, and the average age of Academy voters is 63.
Oh, it's got to change.
So this is not a group of people who are likely to probably not even watch Straight Out of Compton to see if it's any good to be nominated. Every other group did, but this is probably a group who didn't. Why would I want to watch a movie about straight out of Compton and NWA, and you know, why do I want to watch a movie about a you know, this Rocky movie? You know, so that may be part of the problem. The president of the Motion Picture Academy last night, Cheryl Boone Isaac, who incidentally is African American, said that the Academy is going to be taking dramatic steps to alter the makeup of their membership. She says in the coming days and weeks, we'll conduct a review of our membership recruitment in order to bring about some much-needed diversity.
Good.
Because the way this works, in order to become a member of the Academy, you have to have two people who are currently members recommend you. Then your name goes to the Board of Review. But the Board of Review, it's 94% white. That's, you know,
right. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's like a club that just keeps electing the same people.
It's like trying to get into a restricted country club. You're not going to get recognized.
It's Augusta.
Right.
Dean, how many people on that board? I know there's 6,300 in the Academy.
In the Academy itself. I don't know how big their review board is.
Because 6,300 doesn't even sound like that much to me. I know it's much higher than the Critics' Choice. And
well,
the
Critics' Choice is probably about 1,000 people, but the Golden Globes are 92 people who make their choice.
6,300 still seems a little bit low, considering.
Roger Ebert and I had so many conversations about this whole awards process is not really about what's the best movie, what's the best performance. It's about politics. This is show business. And these movie companies are trying to get these awards. They care about the awards because that brings butts into the seats to see their movies. So that's what this is all about, the politics.
Yeah, and it's
not about racism, I don't think. It's not, it's
a broken system.
It's a broken system. Now, interestingly, John Singleton, who directed the movie Boys in the Hood, he was the first African-American to be nominated for Best Director, didn't win, but he was nominated back in 1991. He says there are only so many slots for the nominations, and there are movies that warranted attention, but this is like winning the lottery. This is subjective. It's not objective. There are only so many slots. He says that the demographics of America and this business are changing. The Academy's going to have to evolve. He says he's not worried about it.
Well, that's good.
So there's lots of different opinions about this.
I'm not worried about it. I just think it needs to change. I'm worried about it for you because you have to live in that world. And by the way, you can bring it all the way full circle back to the Eagles. A lot of people don't know this, but Dean and I broke up for a while. There was a period of time where Dean and I weren't able to do the Daily Smartassery.
is that the name of this? Should be the name of this segment.
The Daily Smartassery.
It was like Picasso's Blue Period.
Yeah, and then it was on. Remember VH1's Behind the Music?
Oh yeah.
Remember they had a little known series on Comedy Central, Behind the Smartassery, and there was always that period where they'd go, and when we come back, what happened to Dean and Steve?
Right.
The fight.
I remember back in the day,
it all.
Steve wanted us both to have mullets. I said, because we're both baldy, I said, Steve, we both look like Benjamin Franklin.
We've got to do it now. We don't have much time.
I wanted big shoulder pads back in the 80s. He didn't. We just said we had creative differences.
But we worked it out. Everybody can.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Nice job. See ya.
Bye.
This is what Dean mentioned a few moments ago, his favorite Glenn Frey song from the 80s. It's a good night, late night, smoky room song.
I know you need a friend.
It's a cover, by the way. This is Glenn Frey's cousin, Dave.
I wasn't a big fan of the song.
No, the song's good. It's
kind of elevator-y.
No, listen, I asked Ross and Kevin, who both are too young to know Eagles music, to pull all these songs like at a moment's notice. Mm-hmm, so, mm-hmm. You know, stuff happens. It's fine. But if you could find that for Andrea later and turn it into a ringtone, that'd be great.
Thank you, yeah.
Jeff Morrow standing by, and Kevin, this is a big moment for you. For those of you not familiar with Kevin's food blog, Kevin every Tuesday posts pictures of what he eats.
Yes, I do, and it seems to be a pretty big hit on the website, but people just like looking at photos of food.
And today, a good example, when Twitter is sporadic or down for the first time, you could spend the entire day just looking at what Kevin's eaten.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Where would we find your food blog?
WGNradio.com/food diary.
And, you know, you don't get, nervous around most celebrities, but I know when you met Jeff, you were kind of freaked out.
Well, I don't know if Jeff remembers, but this is when Flavor HD had that Sunday show with Hannah and Dane, and Jeff came in, and I met him, and I was thrilled, because he is the sandwich king, Steve.
And Jeff joins us now. Jeff, do you mind having Kevin as a groupie?
I'll take it, man. I know I do remember meeting you, Kevin, and I've seen your work on online and everything.
Wow, so, what an amazing thing to have a colleague recognize you,
that's
Kevin.
That's a compliment. I appreciate that.
He cooks it, you eat it.
Yes.
That's the arrangement.
Feed your senses. Bring people together with great food, music, and art. Pork and Mindy's is the new venture. Now, is it now open?
It is now open. We are on day 11. We opened last Friday, so... And things couldn't be any busier, so it's been great.
The concept is cool. Some of you guys came in to talk to us about it and showed us the layout and stuff. And if you think something between the quick stop variety, but still convenient to get, and it's not going to take you forever to get it, but a high quality of food, that's kind of where you guys are, right?
Yeah, you know, it's an alternative to your fast food sandwich joint. It's we like to dub a slow smoke sandwich shop. So we have 7 pristine sandwiches that all stand on their own and give you a different experience. This is not like a barbecue place with, you know, pulled pork thrown on a sloppy bun with tangy slaw and 2 pickles on it, you know, and then 4 iterations of that with different meat. This is each sandwich is constructed to stand on its own. And we pride ourselves on not only getting the food out quick for a good price, but also it's so colorful and so texturally complex and be fun to eat. So I'm really proud of this.
And at Pork and Mindy's is the address, social, jeffmorrow.com, M-A-U-R-O, the address again, 1623 North Milwaukee, porkandmindys.com. All right, so Kevin, here's your opportunity to talk to the great Jeff Morrow.
Well, Jeff,
congratulations, Kevin.
Jeff, was this basically you getting a chance to start this restaurant and create all the sandwiches yourself, or was this more of a collaboration with some of the people that started the restaurant and other chefs?
No, it is all my menu. It was this idea was brought to me by my partner and friend before this all, Kevin Corsello, who's a very smart businessman who owned a couple bike shops in the city that were very successful, went to Harvard Business Law School to get his MBA as an adult with children and commuted back and forth to kind of, tune in to his ideas. And he brought this idea to me a year ago. And I love the name. I love that he had plans to grow and a great team behind it. And it was just mine to go crazy with the sandwiches. And he was a championship barbecue guy, giant aficionado of smoking meat. So it was a perfect combination.
And the business model is fascinating to me, because when you go to a bank and you say, okay, we want to partner with you and we want to open up the first of many in a chain of these things. And we have Jeff Morrow involved, and Jeff's got a huge footprint in the food business. Here's our concept. 6 unique barbecued sandwiches. I you got to get the right banker to get that concept.
Yeah. Well, first of all, Steve, not to correct you, it is 7, and that is the magic number.
Ah, 7. Sorry.
Menu 7. So it's 1 a week, obviously.
I just like the idea that you were able to, and this is a testament to you, Jeff. This is a testament to you and the thump you've made in the industry, because that's not necessarily an easy sell to get financing.
No. And I think what surprised me first was how quickly we got, you know, people to invest in the business early on. And then now that we're open and we have a retail line of sauces that will be nationwide this year that are already in all the Mariano's throughout Chicagoland. And we have a line of retail meats coming out and franchise documents done. There's so much going on. And the beauty of it is that Kevin and my other partners are the brains behind it. And I get to sit here and be the mouth behind it in the hands and actually make the food and create and talk about it. So, people are believing in this concept to the point now where we're like, okay, you know, I don't know who's you know, come at us because we're ready to blow up here.
Jeff, to me, a great sandwich is the right amount of bread, right amount of cheese, right amount of meat. To you, what is a perfect sandwich? What makes a great sandwich?
I think it's all about the ratios. And at Pork and Mindy's, we do not put more than three ingredients on any sandwich. And I think that's a golden rule to follow. Simplicity is key. There's too many giant sloppy sandwiches out there. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of great chefs who've turned to the sandwich world, you know, putting their composed dishes on a bun and calling it gourmet sandwiches. But that's, you know, I think those can really get a little intimidating sometimes and sloppy and just texturally muddled. So our thing, we start with great bread and we treat the bread right. All of our bread is buttered with salted butter and griddled till, and then we put the meat on it and two ingredients, maybe three at the most. Something, you know, fresh, something spicy, something acidic. And it all kind of creates a beautiful orchestra in your mouth.
A beautiful orchestra in your mouth.
Yeah,
think you just invented a T-shirt.
It's already in the works, trust me.
Unbelievable. At Jeff Morrow, at Pork and Mindy's, and go to Pork and Mindy's, 1623 North Milwaukee, and try it out yourself. And Jeff, by the way, we're working on a situation where Kevin's going to eat one of the sandwiches every day and report back on the show.
I love that. That'd be great because that's what, you know, there are seven, so this is possible.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Hold the line. That's Jeff Morrow. This is a Miami Vice spinoff, if you will. Glenn Frey. Remember Smuggler's Blues?
I love this song.
Andrea's favorite because, as you know, Andrea's a criminal.
There's trouble on the street tonight. I can feel it in my bones. I had a premonition that he should not go alone. I knew the gun was loaded, but I didn't think he'd kill. Everything exploded and the blood began to spill. So baby, here's your ticket. Put the suitcase in your hand. Here's a little money now. Do it just the way we planned. You be cool for 20 hours and I'll pay you 20 grand.
It's a good record. Pop
love
hit.
It. You know what? It is funny. I know. I know I'm talking.
Sorry.
I know how much you love Glenn Frey, and we're playing all these awesome Eagles songs and Glenn Frey tunes from the 80s. Thank you for that. But you are loving hitting that post. You get this little glimmer in your eye. Andrew's a criminal.
Look, it's just good to know that I still have some timing. That's all.
So funny.
Questions that came in earlier, and we have prizes we're giving away today on the Academy Tony Award-winning, Academy Award-winning, Pulitzer Prize-winning, Golden Globe-winning, and Eagle Scout-winning Ask Us Anything segment that we've done here. And, Kevin, you had a question that came in directly to you.
I did.
It's a question about McDonald's?
Yes. It was more of a plea than a question.
Yeah.
It said, Kevin, please come back to McDonald's. Let's see. I work there, and I'm worried, and I'm afraid we'll lose money without you.
Yeah. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Hang in there 6-3 hours, a couple more weeks.
From the 773, whatever happened to that Cap guy? Sports talk normally bores me, but he was pretty entertaining. Cap is on ESPN Radio, and the geniuses that run ESPN Radio decided that they didn't want him on the show anymore. Even though he's getting a free plug here every morning, which I think explains why ESPN Radio is losing money.
But we still love Cap.
We love Cap.
Love
sure.
Cap.
Cap's welcome here anytime. From the 312, Steve, how many people on WGN Radio are black? Be honest. Well, outside of me, nobody. but the fact of the matter is, that's not a representation, or that's not representative of talent or opportunity. It's just there aren't any.
Right.
I mean, if you're currently black and a aspiring talk show host, I'd love to hear from you because I'm tired of all these white people.
Well, Jared's on in the weekend.
Nice. Yeah, Jared
Payton. There you go.
Sean Davis does a podcast here.
So there you go. Wait, Sean's black?
Yes, Steve.
Not aware of that. let's see. From the 630, Academy Award diversity, good. Now please speak to the lack of Caucasians in the NBA. Shouldn't the NBA be more representative? No. The answer to that is no.
I was going to say fair point, but
no. No. From the 630, Coach Q, Ditka, Phil Jackson, actually from the 262, and Ozzie, all won titles wearing mustaches. does Joe Maddon need to grow hair on the lip for the Cubs to close the deal?
Kevin and I were talking about that. He has weird facial hair. I love Joe Maddon.
He's got a beard right now.
When
he lets it grow out, it's kind of scruffy.
Yeah, it's scruffy. Yeah.
708, whatever happened to Ian Punnett? What is this from Ian Punnett's mother? Ian Punnett was on this station for less than a year, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was about
Ian
a year.
Ian Punnett.
It was about a year. And that was before I was here, so that was 18 years ago?
Ian Punnett, last I knew, was filling in on...
He was in Atlanta, right?
He was. Well, he's been fired as much as I have. Okay. But he was filling in on some national overnight show with psychics and stuff. What was that? You know the show I'm talking about?
It was like an infomercial?
No. It's a national radio show where everybody that believes in psychics...
Oh, the Psychic Network.
Yeah, no, it wasn't that either. Psychics and ghosts and conspiracy theories and things like that.
I don't know.
He was filling in. 708, does Steve Grzanich miss West Frankfort? Let's go to the seventh floor. Steve, do you miss West Frankfort? So one exception. To playing Eagles music all morning is our only exception.
Let me hear to mind you, now I'm doing what I want to. Fiddling about, fiddling about, fiddle about. Down with the bed, close up with your nightshirt. Fiddle about, fiddle about, fiddle about.
Could those lyrics be more British? What are you doing? I'm fiddling all about, down with my bedclothes. Unbelievable. Anyway, Coach Q loves The Who, and we love Coach Q, and it's all sponsored by our friends. I don't know if you know this or not, our friends at Hooters, and Hooters' new slogan is Hooters. If the last meal you ever have isn't at Hooters, you should be dead already. That's their slogan. Did you know that? Oh, here it is. Coach Q Show, sponsored by Hooters, the original wing joint. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning.
Well, you seem very serious. Are you okay?
Tough. No, I'm more than fine. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Were you an Eagles fan?
Yes. I saw them a couple times over the last few years, and they put on a great show. You know, Glenn Frey. I mean, that's a shocker right out of the blue. You know, you lose two icons in 2 weeks with David Bowie.
Yeah.
And two guys, you know, you follow growing up, and, you know, you see them in concert, and then, you know, all of a sudden they're gone. But that was the Eagles were huge. I mean, Glenn Frey was, you know, they got so many great classic songs, and when you see them live in concert, they still got it. No kidding.
And when they got Joe Walsh in the band, you see this thing where
Joe puts on a show with them. It's almost like Joe takes over in the middle of the show.
Joe was with a different band, and they just did this gimmick in Philly once where they roll him out in a gearbox, and he comes out of the gearbox and he plays Life's Been Good. And Joe Walsh plays guitar like you or I walk or talk. I mean, it's just an automatic thing. And he killed it, and they put him in the band.
Yeah. That's a good history lesson there, too. Yeah, very good. Joey's entertaining. You watch him.
He's great.
Don't take your eyes off him there.
He's great.
But Glenn, pretty special.
You got to watch the history of the Eagles. Have somebody on your staff put it on, you know, on your iPad or whatever for the next trip you take because, you know, the history of the Eagles is great. It's a great documentary.
Well, one of their tours was almost like the history from where they started. They started playing songs and the way they began and the evolution of the band throughout the show. So it's kind of cool.
Did you ever think about joining a band when you were a kid? You ever play any instruments?
No chance. I didn't have any good instincts as far as that. Love listening to music. I love everything about it. But my own individual talents are zero. Couldn't sing. Couldn't hit a guitar. Couldn't play piano and couldn't do anything.
But
hey, nothing wrong with playing sports, so.
Yeah, I understand. But if I rolled up next to you at a traffic light, is there a chance I'd catch you singing at the top of your lungs?
Yeah, I'll pretend I'm on the phone if I did. That'd be my excuse.
Hawks are in Nashville, and look, you get one more tonight, you got a franchise record. So I know you want to play them one at a time, and that's your job, and you're the best in the business, but we're right there on the cusp of it, and 12 straight would sure be sweet.
Yeah, tough building. We were in there last year. Nobody dominated us to start a game or in big stretches of the game the way they did. So the start's going to be important tonight. They come at you. They pinch. They're on you. Not a lot of time. And and they got more skill, and I know they're going to be ready. It's the last home game here before the All-Star break, and I'm sure they want to leave here on a positive note. So there's a lot going for them, and I know that we're going to do our best tonight. This will be our best test of the stretch we're in right now.
Yeah, and the Preds have not been good on the road. They're much better at home. So and of course, playing the Blackhawks, that always amps everybody's game up. So they expect them to be on it tonight. But, you know, you used to I remember in tough stretches the past few years, one thing you've always preached is play 60 minutes. Play 60 minutes. Yep, can't have a slow start and catch up. You guys have been playing 60 minutes every night.
Yeah, we like the way things are going. I think the consistency has been there. Everybody's doing their thing and getting more predictability in our team game with and without the puck. That balance we talked about earlier on in the year that wasn't around is definitely in place now. And so we're going into the break here. We got five games left. Let's keep pushing there right to the end here, and then get some time away and then come back and be excited again.
You know, Pekka is one of the great goalies in the game, but he has not had a great year so far this year. Is there anything you guys are seeing that makes you think you can get to him, or is it another case where you just got to get to him early and then let it get in his head a little bit?
Well, we see him a lot. We saw him last year in the playoffs, and you definitely need traffic in front of him if you want to score him. You got to get him moving. He gets set. His sizes and his quickness is tough to beat. So those two things we want to make sure that we're going to be effective in putting bodies at the net, getting them, and then open them up if we can side to side and get some one-timers on them. But, their defense is tight. Not a lot of time to do that stuff, but that's what we're going to try to do. And, I think every goalie, if they see the pucks, is pretty effective today's game.
Dave Ennett's on the road doing Northwestern basketball, but Kevin Powell's here. Kevin, say hi to the coach.
Hey, Coach, your second line has continued to play well with Anisimov, Panarin, and Kane. And Panarin and Kane are just so fun to watch play together, and they seem to be feeding off each other this entire season. They got a couple power play goals on Friday. How is Kane's game affecting Panarin's and vice versa?
I think it helps both guys' games individually, because I think there's always one more play before whether they're looking to chip, whether they're looking to give it to Anisimov, whether they're just trying to keep it for an extra second. There's always a little area pass that these guys have, that play recognition. They can put it in an area, and I know Kaner's going to take it. There's going to turn up ice, and all of a sudden there's a better option coming. So when they're stuck, they always know that there's probably a better option if I give it to the other guy. So I think they use that to sustain a lot of pucks. Their creativity between one another when they do have time to make plays is high end. And like you said, it's fun to watch. These guys, the way the Sedin twins work together is unbelievable to watch. These guys are starting to get that anticipation between one another where they're going to be without even knowing now. So there's a little things that they're developing that are been pretty amazing so far. I still think these guys are continuing to keep an eye on one another and anticipate where they're going to be next without even basically knowing where they're going to be next, which is a different level.
That's all reps, right? That's all reps and skating together.
Yeah, but they got a different ending as far as viewing the game, different level of, I don't want to say IQ, but hockey sense is off the charts, and they both have it, and they got good patience with the puck, and they got, their vision is different level. So we're fortunate to have, you got a guy like Panarin from basically nowhere. We're very fortunate to get him, but the two of them really click together. I think they both enhanced each other's game.
The other night, Panarin had not a wide-open shot, but he certainly had a pretty good shot at the net, and he dropped the puck back to Kaner. It looked like he was trying to get him a hat trick, which he got late anyway. Are those one of those moments where you want to go, hey, young man, take that shot?
I never seen a breakaway turn into a 2-on-2 before, but that was one that we all were sitting there after the game. We all laughed about it because inside the game, I didn't even say anything to him. I think everybody knew what was going on, but I didn't know. Maybe he knew that Kaner never had a hat trick in regulation. I never knew that. So it was, when I say regulation, regular season. So it was I didn't know, but in the same period, he did get the hat trick. So that was good to know. And and a little education along the way, but he doesn't need to do that next time you get a breakaway.
Yeah, no harm, no foul in that case, but I just thought that one might have gotten under your mustache a little bit.
Good point.
Look, speed kills, and nobody's faster than your Chicago Blackhawks, and there's been so many pleasant things all year long. But this audience named you the Lion King last year, and as a Chicago Blackhawks flagship, I'd be curious from a coaching standpoint how you handle 11 in a row going for 12 with lines that are clicking and working, but you can't be predictable, right?
Well, we're not going to change a thing as far as the lines go. We just want to be – we don't mind predictability in what we do. Sometimes we adjust technically a little bit of things, how we play different teams. So those little adjustments are subtle that, it's tough to even notice ourselves doing it. So we mix it up a little bit so we don't get stale and too predictable. But when the lines are working, we're not usually looking to change too much.
All right. Netflix has the history of the Eagles. I just looked this up while I was talking to you. I can listen to you, find you a rock documentary, and talk hockey with you all at the same time. And
multitasker.
I'm telling you right now. So ask one of the guys to download this for you so you can watch it on the plane back.
Okay. There you go.
That's your homework, dude. I mean, don't make me call you. I'll do it. Right. Coach Q and your Chicago Blackhawks, 7 o'clock tonight with Nashville. Have fun, Coach.
All right. Thanks, guys.
See you. That's Joel Quenneville, only the second winningest coach in NHL history right there.
Only the second winning.
How about that? It's a lot of hockey. There's a lot of hockey that's been played. The only person that's won more games behind the bench than him is Scotty Bowman.
So they win tonight. That's 12. That's the franchise record.
Franchise record, yeah.
They got to do it.
Seems like every year, every season, there's some sort of new streak over at the Madhouse going on. Whether it's Kane or the winning streak from a couple of years ago to this now.
I'm telling you, you remember how we thought about the Bulls and Jordan and, Michael and Scotty, and then Michael and Scotty and Rodman and Stevie Kerr and everybody. And you thought, never going to be like this again. You're never going to see a team like this again. This period of time with the Blackhawks, and frankly, it's a lot of luck, but a lot of hard work, too. There's no reason for it to end anytime soon. But this is hockey nirvana. If you're a hockey fan, if you're a Chicago sports fan, enjoy this. Because you never know when it's going to go away. And you certainly don't know how long it's going to take to get it back. But this is an amazing organization, as the coach would say, from top to bottom. It's 9:23. We'll come back with more. Steve Cochran, 720 WGN.
Blackhawks Radio.
720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show presents Hawk.
Chicago.
Opedia.
We may get a fracas here before it all ends.
A what?
Today in the Hawkopedia, I thought we would look at this 11-game winning streak for the Blackhawks. Where does this stand as far as other impressive streaks? 11 in a row so far, looking for a 12th straight tonight in Nashville. The only other time the Blackhawks won 11 straight games was in 2013, when they set an NHL record with at least a point in their first 24 games, the last 11 of which were victories. Win number 11 came on a goal by Daniel Carcillo with 49 seconds left to beat Colorado 3-2 at the United Center. Two nights later, they were beaten by the Avalanche in Denver 6-2, snapping the winning streak, but about a month later, they ran off 7 more wins in a row. The current 11-gamer is the second longest winning streak in the NHL this season. A win tonight would tie the Florida Panthers, who ran off 12 straight until their streak was snapped last week. The Hawks will see the Panthers in Florida later on this week. As far as the longest NHL winning streak ever, well, that's still a bit of a ways off. The Pittsburgh Penguins hold the record 17 in a row, set in the 1992-93 campaign. And that's our Hawkopedia for today.
I always learn so much when Mr. Ennett speaks. He's really edumacational, don't you think?
He is. He is. Go
He's
Cats.
He's smart and stuff. Where are the Cats playing?
Cats are at Maryland. Big Ten matchup tonight.
There you go. At 9:29, still to come, one of my favorite Eagles songs is Desperado.
I love Desperado.
And just kind of, sums up the Glenn Frey experience.
Glenn Frey, dead at the age of 67.
And we're going to play the song. Not just a bump.
The whole
We're
going to
play the song in beautiful AM HD stereo.
It's so sad.
Desperado?
Yeah, it is
It's
sad.
Kind of fitting, don't you think?
Well, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. In case you missed the news, Glenn Frey died yesterday. He was 67 years old after a combination of illnesses and a surgery that he struggled to recover from. All right, it is 9:30. In 1 minute, we come back with a big story on 720 WGN. Oh, I think getting better than this. Here's another Eagles story. Glenn Frey, in the History of the Eagles documentary, casually tells us. He said, I'm with a drug dealer in a Corvette on the way to a poker game. We're going 90 miles an hour. And I said, dude, what are you doing? And he goes, hey, man, life in the fast lane. He said, that's where the song came from. I don't even care if it's true. It's such a great story. All right, 9:39, celebrating the music of the Eagles and Glenn Frey, and I'm sure Wendy will have a lot to add to this later. Who knows music and rock music better than Wendy?
Oh, Wendy's it.
Right?
Total rock chick.
We've got a bunch of other questions we didn't get to earlier. We try to get to some of those. But anyway, why did they change? Here's one of them. Why did they change from Hawktionary to Hawkopedia? Because we ran out of Hawktionary ideas, and we can change the name to Hawkopedia and repeat some things.
And Hawkopedia kind of opens the thing, opens it up a little bit. For
yes.
For more terms.
It's not
for
just
players.
Words. Right. It can be, you know, concepts.
Player profiles.
Ideas. Other Canadians who have nothing to do with hockey. There's all sorts of things.
Phrases.
Yeah, all of those. So we're just trying to make sure that Mr. Ennett can continue to teach us. All right. Now, in glorious AM HD stereo. I want to play one of my favorite Eagles songs. They're all my favorite.
Get my lighter out, my phone lighter.
But I want you to know that if you're, say, under the age of 35 and you think the song Desperado was just a scene on Seinfeld, remember that? What's her name? Elaine. Elaine's boyfriend loved Desperado and shushed her. Desperado was part of, I think it was their second album, maybe in their third. And it was not a hit for the Eagles. And Linda Ronstadt sang it, made it a hit, and the Eagles have done it ever since. And it's just, it's classic. It's classic. Everybody knows one for Glenn Frey and the Eagles and the memories of Glenn Frey. This is Desperado, 720 WGN.
Desperado, why don't you come to your senses? You've been out riding fences for so long now. Oh, you're a hard one, but I know that you got your reasons. These things that are pleasing you can hurt you somehow. Don't you draw the queen of diamonds, boy. She'll beat you if she's able. You know the queen of hearts is always your best bet. Now it seems to me some fine things have been laid upon your table, but you only want the ones that you can't get. Desperado, oh, you ain't getting no younger. Your pain and your hunger, they're driving you home. And freedom, oh, freedom, well, that's just some people talking. Your prison is walking through this world all alone. Don't your feet get cold in the wintertime? The sky won't snow and the sun won't shine. It's hard to tell the night time.
be raining, but there's a rainbow above you. You better let somebody love you.
Let somebody love you.
You better let somebody love you before it's too late.
The Eagles here on Easy 720 WGN. I asked Andrea for a lighter and then told her to get on my shoulders because it was the encore. The closest she come up with is the lighter app on her phone.
I have the lighter app, yeah, waving it back and forth. You do have to flick the little thing, and then when you move it, it waves, just like a real lighter.
And Ross Cochran, who I've known most of his life, as you know, Ross Cochran said to me, because I said, this is the only song I wouldn't talk up because it's blasphemous. And he said to me off the air, he goes, the only two songs I've ever seen you give that treatment to are this and the national anthem.
It's true. Yeah.
But look, I was a disc jockey for a long time. I don't geek out over music. I just love the Eagles and Billy Joel. That's all. Is Billy Joel okay?
He's fine.
Has someone checked on him?
He's coming to Wrigley.
You got to see him at Wrigley. He was awesome.
You need to see Billy Joel at Wrigley.
I've not seen him at Wrigley. I've seen him a bunch of places, but I've not seen him at Wrigley.
Yeah, he puts on a great show, and it's great.
You know, the last place I saw Billy Joel was Billy Joel and Elton John at County Stadium in Milwaukee.
Oh, I saw Billy Joel and Elton John at Wrigley Field a few years ago.
So, and great show. Just went to the last show.
Yeah.
Mary, did you go to that show?
I did, this summer.
Loved it?
It was fantastic. Yeah. And he just married young again.
Well, it's been a couple of years. They have a kid now.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
And that was the concert that Jennifer Lawrence and Amy Schumer were dancing on the piano.
That's
yeah, well,
right.
Some things
yeah.
Are,
yeah.
Some things are a little wacky. It's 9:46. We'll come back. Bill and Wendy coming up at 10. 9:46. Steve Cochran, show number 568. Add Cochran Show on Twitter, Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show. 312-981-7200 for texters and phone calls. Looking to secure financing on a new home or the one. By the way, congratulations to my little sister, Jennifer. She just bought herself a new house.
Congratulations. Yeah. How cool.
Yeah, a few years ago, she had a fire at her building, and she's been looking for the right thing ever since then.
She finally found a place.
Yeah,
good
cool.
For her.
Yeah. She got a good deal on Rahm's home because a lot of people figure Rahm will be out soon.
That is not true. She didn't move into Rahm's house.
It's not true. I was going to give her some help, by the way. On figuring out the house stuff, because I said, well, you know, I got a double wide, so I know what I'm talking about. And then the phone went dead. She said she was having trouble. She had a thing where she goes, can't hear you. Title track from, I believe this is the last album before the Eagles broke up. It's called The Long Run. They called it The Long One. I think it took them 3 years to do it. They're already fighting and not talking. Remember this? You were barely a speck in your parents' eye when this was a hit.
I used to hurry a lot. I used to worry a lot. I used to stay out till the break of day. Oh, that didn't get it. It was hot time, I quit it. I just couldn't carry on that way. Oh, I did some damage. I know it's true. Didn't know I was so lonely till I found you. We can go the distance. We'll find out in the long run.
I feel like we haven't played one. Oh, that's right. Hotel California. Maybe the best-known Eagles song of all time. We'll get that in before Wendy and Bill coming up here in just a couple of minutes. I want to thank George Bliss. Man, George is such a good guy. He checks in all the time.
Love George.
And he's loving the Desperado and the Eagles and all that this morning. Margaret from Bridgeport said, I'm still crying, but thanks for playing it. The questions continue to come in as well from the 630. Why do hockey teams not disclose specific injuries, upper body injuries, lower body injuries, where other teams will tell you what's happening? It's only partially true. Other teams will lie about what's happening. Like the NFL injury report. Am I right about this, Kev? It has to be in on a certain point at a certain day?
Yeah, I think it's Wednesdays or Thursdays. But with hockey, for the most part, isn't it the league just trying to avoid targeting from other players?
There's talk of that, but also it became a tradition that nobody can really explain. If you talk to people in hockey, they go, I don't know, that's just the way we do it.
Right.
So, from the 630, do you remember the rock band Yes? A British progressive rock band did Roundabout and a bunch of other things. The reason I remember Yes is because one of my better friends in life, Dr. Sam, the veterinarian.
Yeah.
We're going to get him on this week, Kev. Dr. Sam hasn't been on a long time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dr. Sam, the vet, is a huge Yes fan and goes to Yes concerts. And I always ask him, how long could the concert be? They had two hits. By the time you park, you go in, it's 10 minutes long, you walk back out.
They'd be good in concert, I bet, though.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure they are. Yeah. No, I'm sure they are. That's why I always ask Sam, how was the concert? Steve, why don't you know how generous Glenn Frey was back in 1973 while in Gateway's House Foundation in Springfield? Glenn and the band invited people, or, you know what? I'm sorry. Our text, this drives me nuts. The way our text works, it breaks up text in different ways and it makes it tough to read. I think what this texter is saying is invited some people who are going through treatment to come to a show and was very generous about that.
Yeah, well, you said he was a great interview, too.
He was a nice guy. I mean, I didn't know him beyond interviewing, but he was a nice guy every time I talked to him. Let's see, a couple others. Steve, you should listen to Common Threads, the songs of the Eagles, done by Country Stars in 1993. Clint Black's version of Desperado is fantastic. That's where Travis Tritt got together, and they shot the video that forced the band to get back together, and they decided maybe we don't hate each other as much as we thought.
Was it, you know how they called it the Hell Freezes Over Tour? I mean, they did it a couple of times.
Yeah.
Was it because one of the members said that they wouldn't
get together until Hell Freezes Over? That's exactly right. One for Steve Grzanich. Hot Topic sells double XL Enduros.
Wait, what?
He brought that up earlier.
Do
you have the text? Ross, can you read that?
Yeah, I do. Hi, Steve. Just want to let you know how generous Glenn was. Back in 1973, while at Gateway's House Foundation in Springfield, Illinois, Glenn and the band invited 82 still cleaning up junkies to their concert as a Christmas gift. It was awesome, even surrounded by a giant cloud of pot. He was the best, and yes, still clean 44 years later.
Hey, God bless. That's a great, great text. I'm glad you pulled that. Thank you, Ross. From the 708, thanks for tickets to Kerry Wood's charity event last Friday night. My wife and I had a wonderful time, even though we're White Sox fans. I heard Roe talking about this yesterday. Roe hosted it. Was Anna there, too?
Anna was there, too.
I heard they did a great job, that's all. Mm-hmm. One more about Roe from the 224. Who at the station is responsible for squeezing Roe's man parts so his voice gets that high? Do we know who does that on the show?
It's only when he talks about Trump.
Jeff Carlin's a phenomenal producer. He does whatever
does Jeff
it takes.
Have spe- oh, it's Jeff.
It takes.
Jeff does it? Okay. Just want to make sure. Bill and Wendy next, 720 WGN.